Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to effect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. All righty. Welcome back to our favorite time of the week. I think Tracy had mentioned it's What the Fuck Wednesday, so I'm really happy. We should trademark that.
Oh, I like that. Oh my good grief, that needs to happen, and we need to give credit for that one. Totally.
We might have to make some stickers or something like that for Black
WTFW.
Hat. Yeah. By the way, still looking for swag ideas, folks. So if you have any. Great ideas for us. Let us know, and we might just
do that. I like the sticker idea. We need to do WTFW. I can get them printed. I don't know, whatever it is. Donkey stickers or whatever the heck it's called.
The sticker mule.
Sticker mule. Yeah.
So they're my go-to.
They seem to be pretty good.
They're fast.
Yes, there we go. They're not bad. They do the job. And let's face it, I mean, everybody, I have a box of stickers I hand out to folks whenever they want them. So,
yep.
It works. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning, Maria. Good morning, everybody. Let me open up chat here. We are. I'm glad to see Maria back. Maria's been on vacation, been crushing it, and she's back to listen in. Welcome, everybody, to the show. You know the drill. For those veterans who are on today, if you have any questions, comments, feedback, let us know in the comments. If you want to pop on to the show and talk with us live, by all means, let us know and we'll bring you on.
There are a few folks, that LinkedIn post that I did yesterday about throw punching.
Yeah.
that one got a few people all spicy.
Let's recap it. Let's recap the posts. I remember it because, I mean, obviously it was yesterday, but let's recap for those who didn't see it.
All right. So I did a LinkedIn post. I did a LinkedIn post. I probably can't post here, can I? I have no flipping clue. Let me see if I can post it. Can I post here? I don't know if I can.
Yeah, I think you can. By the way, I was on yesterday with Hacker Valley Media. You can share screens here.
Oh, okay. Well, I put it in the private chat. I'll figure we can put it there somewhere.
You want me to bring it up on the screen? Should we try that?
No, I don't want to blow it. If anything, we'll do it later on. Because people do not want to see some of the stuff on my computer screen. It ain't pretty.
I can bring it up on mine. I only have five tabs open. No?
Okay.
Yes?
We're good. Whatever. It's up to you. I was just going to talk about it.
Okay, let's talk about it.
So I did a thing. We called it Today's Throat Punch. And it was actually inspired. I was looking, you know me. I mean, I spend ages trying to find the right flipping graphics to go with LinkedIn posts. And I was trying to find something that was kind of what I wanted to do with like intro messages and like the inbox and the spam box and all sorts of stuff. I was going through all sorts of stuff. And I was like, oh, what about warning signs? So I started looking through warning signs. And I've actually ordered a whole bunch off of this person from Etsy now. So I don't feel quite so bad about kidnapping this one. Mm-hmm. But I ordered a whole bunch from Etsy of just all sorts of freaking awesome warning signs. Just some, and believe me, some of them will definitely be making an appearance in a few LinkedIn posts. In fact, I think I've actually got a couple of them sitting away here. Let me have a look. Yeah. So danger, avoid serious industry. This is going to be one of the ones that's going to go on there, which is don't tell me how to do my job. Mm-hmm. That one's definitely going on. Oh, hell, I've just lost the stupid bloody thing. Oh, you fool. please tell me I didn't lose my cart. No, I didn't. I've got the warning, do not set yourself on fire. That one, I think, actually needs to be like a new version of the dumpster fire. We always talk about our industry being an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah.
But I think I have decided that we need to actually do not set yourself on fire, because that really is us. I've got the warning sign that the entire text of the warning sign is telling you it's a warning sign and to pay attention to the warning sign, but doesn't tell you what the warning sign's about. To me, that's another one of security's messages. I do have a warning. I have issues, approach at your own risk. I think I need that one probably in a number of different places. And then I have another Cthulhu one. So yeah, I'm having fun with stickers. But the logic on this one was basically I wanted one the whole logic for talking about this is what did I read in my spam inbox? What is going on? How to approach leadership more efficiently, more effectively? By the way, don't let me forget, somebody actually responded to one of my other ones. And it was, to me, I took it as in the physical world, it literally is like somebody walking up to you. And we've talked about this a number of times, the difference between physical and digital, like somebody walking up to you, literally opening up your jacket, rifling around inside of it, looking for a business card and just running off and stealing the stupid thing. That's number one. And number two, it's like somebody coming to knock at your door. Like it's unwarranted. It's unsolicited. I don't want it. I have no desire to have another damn discussion about 25 different religions, let alone all the politics. All of them actually need to be taken out and probably dropped into the deepest, darkest part of the Marianas Trench. And I saw this one and it was perfect because it was, for those of you that have had kids or have kids, it's that when you get disturbed, especially when the disturbance wakes up the kid, all you want to do is literally throw punch the person that managed to disturb you. And this was beautiful. So use the sign, put it up there. And then what I did is I went through just some of the last 2 or 3 weeks worth of my spam inbox. And I grabbed the first half a sentence or a sentence. And it was, hi, Chris, leaders like you. It was, hi, Chris, any thoughts on my previous message? Chris, 1,000 CISOs shared their priorities. Chris, did you know? And I just went through this. And I'm just, and it was challenging because there's so much repetition. There's so much. And actually somebody commented on it. I can't remember if it was a direct message or someone actually commented on it on the post. Mm-hmm. And it was very much a case of like, oh yeah, that's our AI ML. I think it was our ML. That was our ML system's default insos. And I'm like, if your ML is dumb enough that it can't come up with a new bloody intro every single time it starts an email, or it can't come up with something other than the default 15 or 20 that are on here, you'll need to maybe look at your ML. And if it's a Salesforce ML, dear Salesforce, you need to update your ML. Come talk to Danny about this one, please, because we got better ways of doing this. And I think it was, there was some really good feedback on it. There were some people like, oh, you should have added this one. I'm like, oh yeah, there's some perfect ones.
Yeah.
There were a few other pokes on here that were like, oh my gosh, there were a couple of people that took me to task, which was actually rather interesting. And I think it was actually one of my other posts. In fact, I'm actually going to find it because I know exactly which post it was. And I actually want to set the record straight on this because I did feel a little aggrieved, shall we say. And I'm going to, I don't want to view analytics. I want to view most recent. There we go.
By the way, this list is the epitome of what the fuck did I just read?
You like it?
If anything, that's a t-shirt.
Ooh, see, there we go. Oh yeah. See, it needs to be. I mean, it needs to be, you know what it needs to be? Standard issue wear for anybody going to like Black Hat, DEF CON, RSA, B-Sides, all the other ones. Anybody who's going to do the vendor prowl, that needs to be standard issue wear for everybody. I found it. So all right. an individual who's a founder at IntelliRoot. Hi, Chris. I appreciate the detailed feed manual you've presented, but you've also positioned yourself in a shoe of a start. You have to position yourself in the shoes of a startup entrepreneur who wants to expand globally and is trying desperately to reach potential customers, et cetera, et cetera. It was a little frustrating because I'm like, this goes back to the RTFM, and this was actually on my read the fucking manual post. Mm-hmm. Which is ridiculously ironic because if the individual had taken 30 seconds to actually read the fucking manual and actually look at my LinkedIn post, they might have seen I've sat on the sales side of this world. I've sat as a startup founder of companies. I've managed to exit a couple very, very successfully. I've managed to exit a couple very unsuccessfully. I've been voted off of my island and I've managed to crater one. So I've got to the wounds, the war wounds, and I've had some of the money in the checkbook in the bank to say thank you for doing it at least relatively well. Mm-hmm. And I've always managed to do it. I say the teams that we have managed to assemble have always managed to do the sales and marketing as ethically, as morally, and as correctly as we possibly could. In other words, if it was me on the other end of the phone line trying to actually look at my own company, I'd be able to stand up and look at that person and say, hey, we did the best we possibly could.
Right.
And I think that's the difference, is there's a lot of people are going, I mean, I've seen it in a number of ones when I've taken people to task. They're like, oh, you don't know what it's like to be in sales. Motherfucker, I do. I sold Kirby's. I sold door-to-door vacuum cleaners. So you want to talk about the hardest fucking sales out there? You go knock door-to-door and sell $1,000 fucking vacuum cleaners. Did that. So nice time to put it up yours. I was relatively successful at it as well.
There's the thumbnail.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't mean to be an ass about it, but I do, because there's ways of doing it properly. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You know, and this is what we talk about. There's, you know, and it's frustrating because it's like, literally, I mean, those probably the last three or four posts I've put up. The read the fucking field manual one, definitely. The throat punch one, the violence isn't, you know, I must be going through a common theme, because I think the last couple of these, the violence isn't always the answer one, I think was another one, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Was,
yep.
That was actually, that was whiskey. That was because I got banned from
Twitter.
Twitter. I got banned from Twitter. Well, I got suspended. I just that's a ban at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, the throw punch one was definitely, I literally went through the spam box rather than actually reading the whole message. I'm like, I'm going to read through the first sentence of every single one of them. And it was somewhat depressing.
Mm. Anything pop out that was good that I was like, oh, let's put this back in inbox.
Not really. I think that was they were all pretty bad. Quite a few violent ones. Not violent, more vexed. believe me, this isn't violent. You haven't seen me with violent. Violent is when I'm coming through the screen at you with a knife, or worse. But the vexed I would go with. But yeah, you're right, James. I think you're right. No, there haven't been very many good ones. I think because so many of them are literally the spray and pay. The best ones I've seen, there was absolutely a fantastic one I saw on LinkedIn. And it was somebody hit me up on LinkedIn, and it was absolutely fantastic. Just a general conversation. Somebody hit me up, and it was beautifully done. I wish I should have fucking saved it. But it was just beautifully done. It was like three sentences, and it made me laugh.
Because
you could tell they'd taken the time. Mm-hmm. You could tell they'd read. They found the humor level. They found the sarcasm level. And they hit the spot. They hit it perfectly. I wish I could find the stupid thing. I, you know, whoever's on that knows about it, and the person will know, because I actually hit them back and I'm like, this made me freaking laugh. Let's have a conversation. And I think I've actually booked it for a Friday afternoon in like a week or 2 weeks time. But it was, they'd done their homework. And it was bloody hilarious. It was one of those where it was like, you know, I'm coming through the screen at you with a whiskey in one hand and a taser proof jacket in the other, just something like that.
Yeah.
But it was, I laughed.
Yeah.
And I typically don't do that, because so many of them is just, it's that standard dry, or somebody tries to be cute. I think that's the other part. You know, misplaced humor is almost as bad as the spray and pray tactics. I've deleted a couple of comments on some of the posts because people have just can't get it.
Yeah. We're in a time now where, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is based off of, you know, the research I've been doing with folks, looking at potential solutions for budgeting in 2024.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now, this is a good time for folks to start, you know, getting on the radar. All right, let's take a look at what we can do. Can we get into your budget? Can we get into the pipeline, get you into the pipeline? What's a good way for sales folks to approach you at this time, Q3, where you're starting to open up budget and figure things out for 2024? We talked about the research. We talked about, you know, build the relationship. But is there a specific angle, given things are starting to open up for you potentially, that will move
quicker? Yeah, I think there is. And I think it's literally approaching it with honesty, going, hey, wanted to reach out. 2024 is round the corner from a budget cycle standpoint. We realize this. You know this. I'd love to have a conversation, if it's appropriate, about what you're planning for 2024. If, sorry, spam. I love RoboKiller. I really do. I'm sorry, but I love RoboKiller. It saves so much violence on this planet. It's not even funny. Actually, RoboKiller needs to be nominated for one of those Nobel Peace Prizes. Oh, there's a LinkedIn post. Excuse me, post-it note. This is how I come up with my LinkedIn posts. If anybody actually wonders if I have like a ghostwriter, I got accused out of RSA. Somebody's like, oh, you have a ghostwriter. You have somebody that comes up with all. No, I'm a fucking squirrel.
You said it, but yes, Chris invests in his LinkedIn post. I get text messages at 5 a.m. This is going to go up on LinkedIn today. And I'm like, yes, yes, it is.
RoboKiller, Nobel Peace Ball.
Real life experience. Up on a post
fairly soon. But I mean, so let's go back to the question.
Yeah.
You're right. Now is the time to have the conversations about budget for most companies. Now remember, mm-hmm. if you make an assumption that my budget cycle is annual to annual, you've potentially made an ass out of yourself, because that isn't always mm-hmm. the case with some companies. However, okay. you open it with a question. Hey. Making an assumption that you might be like most other companies out there, you're running an annual cycle. If that's so, any chance of having a conversation? What's in the firing line for 2024? You know, what have you got on the go for 2024? I'm going to understand you've been there for 12 or 18 months. You know, you've probably got a handle on identity, probably a handle on this. Are you looking at maturing any of those? If so, any chance of having a conversation? Done. Mm-hmm. I don't need to know 10 paragraphs about what you've done. Literally, I don't need two paragraphs, maybe two or three sentences.
Right.
And I think it's, you keep it simple. And again, if my budget cycle isn't on that, then I'll shoot no back and say, hey, you know, I'll either going to ignore it, or I will shoot no back saying, hey, thanks for the note. Love to talk about 2024. Let's have a conversation. If it's done in a way that doesn't come across as I'm one of 1,000 people kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the other challenge on the other one as well, is opening. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, Valerie said it perfectly. Fairly easy to find a company's financial year. Perfectly well stated. And again, that takes, hit the nail on the head. Now, we're private, so we might not have the data out there. But if it's a publicly traded company, then yes, you can. If it's private, 80, 90%, somebody who's more financially astute will have to give me an assumption on that, a better assumption. But I would assume 80, 90% are probably year to year. I know some run like into the first quarter. So especially in retail, they'll actually capture like the Christmas, New Year stuff in their end of year. And so they run like March to whatever, April or March, whatever.
Right.
So I think it's opening up with the, hey, would love to have a conversation if it is appropriate.
Right.
Would love to get on the calendar some point in time in the next month or two, if it is appropriate. Going to make an assumption, you're sitting down surrounded by spreadsheets, drowning in budgetary conversations. If you fancy coming up for air and want to grab a tea or coffee, would love to help you make an escape route for half an hour. You know, just simple shit like that will make me go, okay, that's fucking awesome. Let's grab a 3-minute conversation. Because somebody hit me up. There was actually a really, really good, there was another really, really good LinkedIn note that was actually put out there. I'm going to try and find it. I think it was actually on this last one. When, again, somebody turned around, and rightly-ish, so I'll emphasis on the word ish. Rightly-ish made mention about, well, you know, if all you do is tell everybody to fuck off, how do you ever find out what's new out there in the world? There we go. Actually, it wasn't actually. I'm being a little bit sarcastic. David said, hey, although this is harsh, it's good feedback. These openers are really cheesy. With that said, I'm curious, Chris, if I was trying to sell you a security solution, which I'm not, so have not, can I show you an example of email? Which would you reply to? Or do you 100% refuse to engage with anybody soliciting? In which case, how do you find things? Gartner report. Get the fuck out of here. If I relied on the Gartner report, we'd be in real bad problems. And I'm like, hey. And I actually shot David a message about saying, hey, watch and listen to the podcast. And David said, okay, I'm going to watch. So if David, you are watching, thank you. That was actually your message. But David's right. You have to listen sometimes. So I think this is the other thing. This is a cut to the CISO and the CIO and the C-level that's listening in on here. You can't say no to everybody. You have to get your information from somewhere. Now, taking that step back, this is where I loved what Victoria was doing over at Kellady. And unfortunately, it didn't, in the market we currently have, it just didn't work. I want a trusted resource or two or three that I can go to and have a conversation with and go, hey, what are you seeing in the market? Perfect example. I mean, the NewSpy folks are a really good example of that one. Being able to go to them and go, hey, look, what are you seeing in MSSP space? What are you seeing in the endpoint space? What are you seeing that's complementary threat intelligence? How do we bolt that in? Some of the other things that they have, how do we bolt those in? And that way I don't have to go ask the market for any of those versus some other stuff that's going on. You know, I go walk around conferences. I do the vendor walk. I will watch and I will listen, but I will also run screaming from the halls every now and again. But I will also listen to certain vendors.
Right.
I think some of it is also very, very dependent on what I have on my roadmap. So, I mean, I'll be very, very transparent.
I was good. It's a nice segue because I was going to ask if it's possible to divulge what's on your roadmap and have there been any good recommendations lately from your network on particular domains?
From the network, no, but I was out. So yeah, so I can't share this, but I wish I could share this because actually we need to figure this one out. Let me see if I can come up with the default version of this for everybody that's in leadership. And I think everybody that's actually sitting in a sales business development role, because I think it would be useful for them to see this. So Danny, try to do me a favor, keep me on task, maybe for next week. Let me divulge, not this, because Boom would, right, I'd walk myself out of the company. But let me come up with like a default, we'll come up with this for Acme Corp. Let's just put it that way. I'll do an Acme Corp version of this and I'll talk people through how I build things. But perfect example. So I have my map up in front of me. It started at Q3 2022. I'd gotten into the company 6 months beforehand, put this together, presented it, signed off on it. It goes three to Q4 of 2024. I break it down by the NIST cybersecurity framework, and I break it down by the five categories: identify, protect, detect, respond, and recover. Under each one of those categories, let's just take identify. There's six different things I look at: asset management, business environment, governance, risk assessment, risk management strategy, and supply chain risk management. So I have those. And now what I've done is across each one of them, I have a little simple project plan. It's an Excel spreadsheet. And again, I'll show it. We'll show it next week. And I know asset discovery and data management started in Q3 2022, and it goes through till pretty much the middle of now. If I haven't figured out where my assets are by this point in time or gotten a good baseline, we'd be screwed. Now it should be a matter of getting steady state. What's getting added? What's getting removed? All this kind of good stuff. Governance, continual engagement with internal compliance teams and additional staff to support the mission. That's the whole way across. And that should be a continuous thing. So if there's something out there that helps me with governance and the risk and compliance stuff, especially risk assessment stuff, I'm ears, and I'm ears continually. But if I want, let's say if I look at recovery planning, asset recovery, disaster recovery planning, well, I should have that in place. So that's where I have between now and end of 2023 to get that in place. And that's my roadmap. That's my remit. This is in front of the board. So every quarter, the board sits there and goes, hey, what are y'all up to? And I go, hey, here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm working on. Here's what I've worked on. Here's who's in the hopper. And here's what's going on. And then I work with Terra. Terra is a perfect example. You know, Terra runs my governance, risk, and compliance side of things. So when somebody comes in and says, hey, we have a new toy to play with, I'm like, all right, let's take a look at it. And then if it's any good, I'll kick it over to Terra and say, hey, do me a favor, take an eyes on this, see if it's worth it. Now, first thing with governance, risk, and compliance is visibility. So you have to get something in visibility. That's mostly done. Now I've got that. Now we need to build in, where's my data, what's classification of it, what's the labeling of it, all this other stuff. So having that kind of stuff in place is that next level. So if you understand the NIST framework, you should be very easily able to go, huh, what's Chris going to focus on, and what are any companies around about his level of maturity going to be continually looking at versus a point solution?
Does that tie into those five questions that you ask coming in? Remember we talked about that a few weeks ago during the panel?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. What do I have? What do I have? Where is it? What's it doing versus what it should be doing? Who's on it versus who should be on it? It's real simple stuff. Now, the very first question you ask even before that is, how do I kill you? And as terrible as that might or might not sound for those of you that aren't used to that side of the world, it's a very valid question. If you ask, let's say you ask a retail company, how do I kill you? And they're like, well, we can't take money. Okay, then within a week, you're dead. If I ask a manufacturing company that produces widgets by the billions, how do I kill you? They're like, put a handful of sand in the manufacturing machine over there and we'd be fucked. You ask somebody like us, how do you kill us? I have intellectual property, we have a reputation, and we have safety. If any one of those three gets nailed, it's not happy. So now I know what's going to kill the company. Now I know how to efficiently and effectively start taking mitigation, start taking risks side of things down, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah. So again, if it's a handful of sand in the manufacturing machine, well, then I got to have surveillance in place. I need to have maybe a secondary and tertiary system in place. And how quickly can I spin them up? I need to have a sensory system in place. If my handful of sand will kill it after a minute's worth of use, well, can I detect something in 10 seconds? Can I detect a foreign object damage? You know, we have FOD in the aviation side of the world. Can I detect that within 5 seconds? And so now I reduce the risk, or I put some kind of a safety net in place. So all of these conversations, discussions, and considerations come into place. And then I go, okay, how critical is that in my plan for the next, you know, 6, 12, 18, 24, 36 months? And I work to that. And now, to your point, I'm approaching this next fiscal year. I'm putting the budget together. And my job's easy. I literally look at 2024 and I go, shloop, what have I done? Where am I? And what continues to go? I know 2024, continuing engagement with humans. Actionable threat intelligence needs to be a continual thing. Ever-changing offensive landscape. How do we manage awareness and training? You know, how does awareness and training evolve? We use wiser training at the moment, and I love it. But is that the be-all, end-all solution? Is there something out there that can be more efficient, more effective? Or do I do something better and work with the wiser team to help build that product more efficiently? Kind of a nicer way of doing it. I know that we start looking at some of the maintenance stuff. I know in the security and resilience of assets. So we've identified the assets. We know where they are. What's the resilience? If somebody loses one of our devices in the middle of outer Mongolia, how confident am I that that device is encrypted? How confident am I that I don't have to report it, that it'll never be recovered, et cetera, et cetera? So, you know, what do we have in place for that? Not just on regular machines, but also on portable mobile devices. What do we have for physical? So as all of these things are in there, and that's my shopping list for 2024.
I love that. And I want to take this a little bit further because we noodled on this again, 3-4 weeks ago. And I did a report for a client, and I want to talk about this because this was a play that we did 5 years ago over at Guardicore. Rip or replace or complement with existing solutions.
Ooh, that's an L.
Because right now, if folks are going, okay, well, you know, we have a solution. Let's take out, you know,
endpoint. Let's talk about endpoint. Let's talk about endpoint. Endpoint's probably the preemptive rip and replace or complement. So perfect. Yeah. And I'll be very, very candid about it. When I walked into Boom, we had an endpoint solution in place and it sucked. It sucked because it wasn't effectively implemented. It sucked because it wasn't being effectively managed. It sucked because it was not being effectively supported. So the vendor in question didn't support it to the point where they didn't know that they hadn't invoiced us for like the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. It was the support was that bad. And so I'm like, it's gone. Yeah. Get it the hell out of here. I don't care if you can, if you have given us such bad service for the last 6 to 12 months, get the hell out of here. So what we ended up doing is we were looking at other endpoint solutions, and you know, there's a plethora of them out there on the market. There's really only 3 or 4 good ones. But there's a plethora of them. And I look at it in two categories. Do I go with one that's well known, or can I bring somebody through who I would love to help evolve with? In other words, somebody who's just kicking it off, got a really good idea, and we can help evolve it. what we ended up doing was talking to Maria over at Newspire and the team there and went, hey, we're looking at managed security and what are you, where's your suggestion? And like, well, here's who the two we use. And I'm like, well, you can help us rip that one out and you can replace it with one of the other ones that you primarily support. And that's what we did. And it was a collaborative process that was done between Newspire and us. And what it did a couple of different things. It showed us how well that organization would work with us as a partner rather than, oh, this didn't work, therefore it's your fault. Well, this didn't work and it's your fault. It showed us that that didn't occur and it showed us that it's a good relationship. So first and foremost, we got to see how the partnership works. That's great. Now we have a cemented partnership for MSSP, for Endpoint, for Threat and a few other things. Brilliant. There, the chances of ever doing a rip and replace on that are ridiculously remote. Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody would have to come up with something where the sun shines out of its ass 24/7/365 and it's immutably perfect. That ain't going to happen. This is security, let's face it. Mm-hmm. On other things, another one. So we have something in place that we are trying to use for audit management and compliance. It is detailed, it is great, but it is a royal pain in the ass. And there is a part of me that wants to just rip it out and start with something fresh. Audit board, if you're listening, this is you. I have no love for it because I see how convoluted and complicated it is. However, I also, to some degree, listen to Tara and I take her feedback on board. And at the moment, she's like, give it a chance, give it a chance. We're making it work. We're making it work. I'm like, all right, I get it. But at some point, I'm going to throw a hand grenade at the damn thing and we're going to get something else in potentially if we can't get it to do it. Ooh. Oops. I might have gone.
I moved the mouse around.
I have hot corners on my Mac. I deliberately have hot corners so that if anything's happening or anybody's coming to try to seize my machine, I can just swipe left or swipe right and it just locks the whole thing up completely.
Don't you dare swipe me.
So I hot corner. So yeah, there's other stuff out there. Threat intelligence, another perfect example. Is very one of those conversations where we have what we have. Can we supplement it? Can we complement it? Another one. So I have, since we came back from Israel and since we came back from a break, I'm tasking the teams very differently. We're doing tactical in the mornings, in the afternoon, we're doing more strategic. What that strategic is looking at everything. I gave a couple of presentations while I was out in Israel. And one of them was about artificial intelligence and how we will use narrow, general, and generative effectively within our environments to basically build a risk profile of the plane, its surroundings, environments, all the other stuff. Build some really fucking cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I can't do that with the current, you know, MSSP security platform. I'm going to have something either built or will be built or will be put together. So that's going to be a very, very different discussion about all of this data I'm collecting. Where does it go and how do we make sense of it? So perfect example, DFIR and I are having a conversation about potentially using their platform as a baseline understanding of it. But again, you could do that. I can go talk to Greylog and potentially do the same thing. I could go talk to the folks over at Sumo Logic and do the same thing. So there's, and I'm looking at those not to rip and replace, but to complement slash supplement, because I don't want it in the core system. I want it in an entirely different system because it's a very, very different focus. So
right.
Long way of saying.
So I love this conversation. It's opening up a lot of different questions for me.
Yeah.
And routes we can take. And I do want to take one route. So right now, you are the CISO.
Yep.
However, you have a team. You know, you have Tara, you have a team that likes their tools. And again, we talked about this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yep.
It's hard to get your team members, I imagine, to want to wiggle away from tools potentially, right? Or to take on new tools, right? Because they like their tools.
Yeah. You know,
is that a safe assumption?
That's a tough one. Yes and no. Okay. I'm a technical CISO.
Yeah.
So for the most part, we can go toe to toe on what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly. Mm-hmm. However, I'm also in certain areas, I've got cobwebs on some of my tech. Some of it, I'm still very current. Some of it is cobwebs on it. So I have to listen to the team. Mm-hmm. But what I can do is mentor. Mm-hmm. Mentor in a way that takes the emotion out of a conversation. It takes the dedication out of a conversation. It takes the reliance on the quarterly dinner out of the conversation from the vendor. And it puts it in very much of a conversation, a very, very objective conversation.
Yeah.
And so we have done that. A perfect example. We are looking at browser security. So not just reliant on the endpoint, a few other things. We're looking at potentially replacing the browser itself and doing some other kind of cool stuff. And there's a couple of vendors out there that do browser security. Now, Charles and I know of and are very good friends with a couple of folks over at one of them. We've gotten a couple of the team on board with that whole potential solution as well. In fact, we have a meeting with them this Friday. However, I just came back from Israel. I sat and had an amazing set of conversations with another one of those providers who actually opened my eyes to some of the stuff that either I hadn't or I didn't know that this other bunch had. So I came back. And I'm like, hey, do me a favor, take a look at this. I'm sent it off. Mm-hmm. I got crickets for about 24 hours. I'm like, all right, I see where this is going. So I went back and said, hey, do you look at it? Yeah, we took a quick look, not so bothered. I'm like, all right, tell me why. Forcing the function to not necessarily justify, but to actually do that pluses and minuses for both. Tell me why. Why would you, what did you see? In other words, how much depth did you put into it? Did you give it a cursory glance or did you look at it and go, okay, clear eyes, objectively, it's better, it's worse, this is good, this is different, these are the feature sets it has, this is how it would integrate, this is how we deploy it, and a few other things. I still haven't seen all of that. So again, it's a mentoring coaching thing. Hey, do me a favor, I need an objective look at both of these.
You mentioned you're a technical CISO, and I don't want to dig into this too deep right now because I do want to save time for folks who want to come on. By the way, folks, if you have questions and want to validate anything, get some feedback, come on, say hello, please, by all means, shoot me a message, we'll bring you on. But you mentioned you are a technical CISO. What are the other CISO types?
I think officially there's like half a dozen of the bloody things. I think I remember reading some. I'm like, wow, there's a whole bunch of different ones. So I think there's a couple. You've got, I always look at myself as the CISO that runs into the burning building. I always have, and I think I always will do. So shit's on fire, hell's broken loose. I run to the burning building, figure it all out, get the fire dampened down, get everything settled, and then hand the keys over to an operational CISO. Somebody who is very good at building operational, ongoing processes, keeps the lights on, keeps everything moving along, ticking quite nicely, has a level of innovation, but also is much more somebody you can rely on 24/7/365, who's always going to be there, is not going to fart in the halls of the oppressors, and all that kind of stuff. So I think you have somebody who is the reliable CISO, should we say, for who's going to be there for 25 years no matter what. I would also say you definitely have, you know, you talk about tactical, you talk about strategic CISOs. In some ways, you also have the ones that are in there for mergers, acquisitions, or for effect like huge change. Now, to some degree, that's the burning seat, that's the burning building one. You definitely have some folks who are, and that's actually, you know, Michael just said, and I was actually just getting to this one. You've got the ones who are very business focused.
Yep.
So they have come at it from a very business, you know, as a CISO, my role is to effectively do what I can to not just protect the company, but enable the company to work in a safe and a secure manner as possible. So I take that approach from a technical standpoint, but I'm also fortunate. I know how finance works and I know how business works. Not everybody does that. If you have somebody coming from finance or from the business who knows how to strategically position the security organization, who knows to strategically talk with the CEO or the CFO, and where are we on all these different finance options? For me, when somebody says, hey, we can do blah, 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 with finance, I get bits of it, but bits of it go, wee. And so you get somebody who maybe comes in and is very effective at that more strategic, more business, more, you know, I don't know how you would want to call it, placement of the organization inside the business. Those typically are like the three. Now, I think there's about three different more ones if you look at it.
Yeah, we talked about that in the CISO Value Distillery, how to create value for different CISO types.
Yeah.
That's part of the Essentials class, by the way, folks. I can drop that in the link here. But how you approach those different CISO types matters.
Oh, yeah, big time.
from an SDR perspective, an account executive perspective, a marketing perspective, the whole shebang. I almost want to bring Tara on WTF to talk about.
We need her in here. Yeah, like we should. Yeah. She's probably not around.
Well, we could figure it out. We'll take it offline and figure out a good time to bring Tara on and talk about her experience, because I'm still kind of noodling on the idea that she has her way of doing things right. She has a way of things that she likes, you know, to be approached. And she has her experiences. I'd like to unveil some of that on the call at some point, if that's okay. Obviously, I don't want to take time out of her busy schedule.
You're fine. Yeah, as long as she's good with it, I'm good with it. Yeah, she's big enough and old enough to be able to manage her own time.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So we have two questions. What do you think of the growth of the BISO role? From Michael.
BISO, the BISO one?
Yeah, BISO, yep.
Oh, God. Was it business interest security or whatever the hell it's called or something like that?
Yeah, business BISO, yeah.
You know, I think it's, okay, so, all right, two thoughts. First and foremost, I think in some companies it's probably redundant. Your CISO should be able to bridge the gap. So I would argue you should, and in many situations, you should have a CISO that should be able to bridge the gap and be able to walk into anybody inside the rest of the business and go, how y'all doing? And let's have a conversation in a way that the rest of the business understands it. This is something we've talked about a number of times, is communication and collaboration. How do we in the technology role go communicate and collaborate more efficiently? Ironically, today is all hands and one of us will be stood up on stage and having those conversations. So there's a part of me that goes, your CISO should be efficient and effective enough to do some of that. Now, with bigger organizations, large scale corporations, I think it's useful because as a CISO, I can't have eyes everywhere. I have a lot of people helping me what's going on, helping me understand, but I can't have eyes everywhere. So having a relationship builder and mentor and advocate between, let's say, perfect example, like we're building a super factory in North Carolina. I would love to have somebody out there who is an advocate for security out in that location, not just a security team, but somebody who's an advocate for and with the manufacturing teams, with the suppliers, with the vendors, who's got a finger on the pulse as to what's happening, what's coming up. We talked about 2024 budgets. What's in my budget versus their budget, I don't know about. And how do I account for that? How do I make sure that, you know, we've got something in there to cover for whatever? So in a company of our size, I think it's a waste. I would absolutely consider a waste. If I can't walk up to any of the leadership across any of the teams and have an effective conversation, I'm the wrong person in the wrong place. I think if you end up with a 10, 20, 30, 50, 100,000, then maybe that's a different conversation. You have those BCs. So it's kind of like the relationship people that we used to have between IT and the business. Mm-hmm. I had a ridiculously good friend who was one of those, and he was very, very, very effective between technology and the business. And would actually sit there and the business is like, hey, we want to build glowy widget shit. And technology often, unfortunately, would go, we can't do that. And his role was to go, hey, look, how do we do this efficiently and effectively with resources? How do we account for resources? How do we build the resources? How do we timeline it? How do we strategically? So they were almost a negotiator in some ways. It was actually a very, very good way of doing it, but it was tough.
Our good friend Ryan has an excellent question. And
Ryan has lots of questions.
I sent him a link. I don't know if he'll pop on, but for the sake of time, let's ask for him. What can CISOs do to gain more relatable business skills? Which is a fabulous question.
I think research. Get off your ass and instead of going to a DEF CON conference, maybe actually go to a business conference. Instead of going to, you know, the next CISO dinner, maybe go hang out with your marketing teams. Go hang out with the manufacturing teams.
Right.
In my side, it's getting dirty and going over and hanging out with the tech teams and the other teams. To mm-hmm. me, it's. I would also argue as well. One of the things I'm looking at is actually going back to school potentially and going back and doing like the Yale, Harvard. Business, doing like a, not necessarily a business degree, but doing one of those compressed like 16, right. 24 week courses.
Right.
And doing something like that, because I think that will also help. But also the other thing is as well, walking into the CFO's office and sitting down and going, hey, Can I grab half an hour of your time for you to explain to me how shit works?
Mm-hmm.
Walking into Tom's office, who runs, you know, the aviation, avionics, electronics, walking into Tom's office and going, hey, can I just get 30 minutes of your time to figure out how this fucking thing flies?
Mm-hmm.
We should be comfortable enough to be able to do that. I should be able to walk into Anne's team and go, hey, talk to me about the people team functions. How do they work? How do you work? What do you look for from me? So for me, it's a lot of that. It's that communication stuff. We got Ryan.
Ryan is a good friend of WTF, of Audience First, of Mr. Roberts and myself. Welcome to the show, Ryan. We were just digging into your question. Can you hear us, Ryan?
Ryan, we can see you. We can't hear you yet. Don't hear you.
He's playing with us, by the way. He's totally doing the lip thing, but he
can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
We gotcha.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey, you're going to laugh on this one. Your favorite friends of mine just hit me up online. Arctic Wolf. Fucking idiots.
Frozen puppy.
A bunch of Muppets, I swear.
No, so it's funny that you guys were talking about this, and you know how life is. I just happened to be on the feed and saw, so I jumped over. You know, one of the things that I'm looking at now in a CISO role. So for those that don't know, I transitioned from presidenting back to my roots, really getting back into the tech side, the CISO side, but taking with me that leadership experience. And what I've been having a lot of conversations around is future readiness.
Mm-hmm.
So security has been mostly the same crap over and over and over. We haven't made significant change, but yet we have all this AI coming in. Business leaders are trying to figure out what to do next, where to turn next. And so a lot of decisions are being made in a compressed time scale. And so what I'm being tasked with is how do we manage risk effectively in a compressed time scale? Can I ask a more meaningful question that gives me more answers versus asking a dozen questions? Because I don't have time. I can't get on calendars. And the Wall Street Journal told me if I don't implement ChatGPT tomorrow, well, then I'm going to be out of business. So it's, that's kind of, what are your thoughts around that? Like, especially at Boom with you guys, you know, kind of driving the future.
Yeah.
How much is that part of your guys' dialogue?
50%. Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, to your point, so it's driving it to such a degree that this was the conversation we had with Danny just now, is coming back off of a week off, I've retasked the team. And there's a bunch of different reasons, but a lot of it is now, right, mornings, I'm talking about noonish, tactical. Make sure lights are on, make sure shit's working, make sure nobody's actually trying to actively break in that we actually know about, make sure that everybody's doing what they should be doing. And then afternoon, strategic, which is I've got some of it up on the whiteboard and I've got a whole bunch of it on a mind map. How do we predict the future of our airplane safety and security across the entire ecosphere? And so that's what we're planning. And a lot of that is, what do we have? What do we make sense of it? How do we make sense of it? How do we make sense of it from yesterday's, today's, tomorrow's, next week's, next month? And then put all of that together, smush it against the wall and go, now I can do an analytics envelope of everything that's going on. And I can build that out. That's intellectual property. That's building intellectual property for the company. That is building mindshare for the organization. That's taking maintenance, support, safety, security, fuel, environmentals, atmospherics, humans, and predicting the future of how they will interact and work and affect the actual security and safety around the aviation. So that's what I'm building. That's the afternoon's work for obviously an extended period of time. And a lot of that's AI, ML, and a whole bunch of other crazy shit that we're building. Some of it we don't even know.
No, you get it all done this afternoon. Don't even worry about it. Sounds like small. Yeah. It's a small task.
Ironically, I've got a lot of it. So yeah, putting it down on paper and actually affecting it, two different things. So yeah, that's just me. And then I take a step back and I look at, you know, we have a team of folks in from, I can now say where they're from because we just announced it at Paris Air Show. I got a team of folks in who are working on some fuselage design stuff from the team that we actually now partner with on fuselage design. That's all future shit that won't actually happen for the next couple of years. So I get to go hang out with them and go, How is that working? How is that affecting? What is going on with that? You know, the cockpit, the design, the systems, the fuel, sustainable aviation fuel. How do we predict how much and when and where and what it's going to do in the engine? So there's a ton. And then you throw the security crystal ball at it and go, how do I effectively keep the probabilities and the risks where I need them to be, want them to be? And then when I get it wrong, how do we recover correctly?
Yeah, I think, you know, you touched on something that I'm working through now, which is control definition. How do I implement control definition around AI? A big area of concern for me in everything you just mentioned is data provenance. So if I'm going to be making decisions based on the outputs of these language models, of these, you know, stats on steroids, how do I know I can trust that decision? How do I know that information has not been manipulated, especially when we're talking about information volumes that are in some cases incomprehensible?
Oh yeah. Where we know the petabytes that we're going to be fucking around with. And you're right. How do I trust that model?
Well, and then you have the whole commercial side. How much is that model skewed towards the outcome that particular commercial entity wants you to get versus raw fact? So it's just interesting. I'll share with you guys a couple things I actually created recently, such as cyber policy for the implementation of AI in specific vertical settings and policy around the implementation of OT in particular vertical settings. Just scaffolding, right? It's stuff that I haven't found a good example of yet. So I sat down to make one because I needed one for me. And as always, I make all that stuff freely available to everyone. So I'll shoot you guys some links and amazing. I'd love your feedback if you get 30 seconds before I, you know, go public with it. But
yeah. For sure. Ryan, it's always good seeing you. You look great.
Thank you for having me on. I will see you kids at summer camp.
Yay.
And I appreciate what you guys do for the community. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you, Ryan.
All right, I'll talk to you guys soon.
Will do.
Love Ryan. I'm so glad he's going to be at summer camp. That's great. Full circle. All right, we have 8 minutes left. I do want to touch a little bit on what Yoad had asked about. Personalized approaches, giving up on automation and researching each and every prospect individually. He says that it's hard to scale. I agree, it is hard to scale. On the other hand, from what he hears from us, that's the way. So using automation tools on security folks just won't cut it.
You can use an automation tool to actually do background research and intel on somebody. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to actually do what we do effectively.
Exactly.
So you can use some of the very tools that our own industry is selling to us to actually effectively automate some of that. Now, can you use them to do the first email or the second or third email? You better not do, because guess what? I got the throat punch one that's got 20 of them listed and there's going to be a whole bunch more. Yeah. And there we go. Yeah, it's quality over quantity. Thank you, Maria. That's the other argument, which is you don't need to be reaching out to 100 people a day. Five.
Yes. I take the sweet spot folks who are in my target ICP. And I take a look at, you know, I'm a startup founder. Okay. So I don't need to be in the startup founder seat tomorrow. I'm in the startup founder seat yesterday. I take the sweet spot accounts that are going to be able to afford my services, take a look at who's working there, who's going to purchase them, and then do research behind them and start outreaching individually. I don't do automated outreach. I do have my bank of messages that I use and I, you know, repurpose them, but, you know, customize. Quality over quantity. That's how you go. Scalability is hard there, but what are the chances of converting those folks versus going spray and pray on quantity, right? Much higher conversion rate, because you've focused on the accounts that are more likely to buy from you and the folks who are more likely to buy from you. But Maria did mention that George Comedy, who is the AI genius, by the way, showed her an effective way to use it in prospecting. So we got to connect you, Yoad, with George. Maybe he can give you some pointers there and tips on how to do some cool things with AI.
Nice.
All right. We are heading towards the end of the session. I do like to keep these under 60 minutes. Chris, anything you want to impart on the audience today before we sign off?
No, I think it's do me a favor. Anybody that's on here, read the throat punch. Read the throat punch one. Read the one I put out there on RTFM and have questions. Challenge, obviously. I mean, I'm fine with challenging, but for crying out loud, before you actually challenge, read some of the bio, like it says in the RTFM manual. This isn't an exact science. I think maybe this one, there isn't an exact science. And I think Maria is perfect. You know, even tailored messages are rarely getting read. Most people aren't like Chris. And I think that's right. A lot of our work is also to change the attitude of the CISO as well. I would absolutely say that. Maybe we spend some more time on that next week. I'm happy to flip-flop between the two. Plus, actually, let's do that because we'll also go through we'll also go through the roadmap. So for me, it's not an exact science, but you can keep trying. And I think the more of yourself and the heart you put into it, the better the chances are that you are going to get that response that you're looking for.
Right. Okay. So next week we have Acme Corp.
Yep.
And focusing on the C-level approach.
Yeah. I think we need to get more CISOs in here as well and C-level folks to actually to be, and not even just C-levels. I think anybody on the technology side that is facing, shall we say, the sales, marketing, BDR type of folks, those people need to be the ones listening as well, because I think they need to learn how to respond a little more respectfully sometimes. Sometimes not, but sometimes yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So we have a great agenda for next week. I'm actually going to post next week's event today so we can start getting more people in. Because I've been posting the event like 2 days, 1 day out. We get an average of 35 folks on.
Yep.
Posting it right after this call. Join us for next week. I don't want to sign off. This is like my favorite part of the week, but I got to take the kiddo to school because she's late.
And I have a meeting as well. So yeah, we have got to.
All right, Chris, always a pleasure hanging out with you. Folks, wonderful seeing you. Thank you for being so active in discussion here.
Yeah.
If you have feedback or questions, by the way, shoot us a message offline. We're pretty responsive and active on LinkedIn. Join us next week. This has been another episode of Audience First. We are out.